On this episode of Setting Stages with Eddie Mack, I'm joined with event producer Anna Sorrell. Our conversation covers many topics. Some include how she became passionate about dance, business betrayal, overcoming an emotional phase of self-doubt and criticism, and she gives you a sneak peek at her upcoming projects. This episode was recorded outdoors at a park in San Diego, so you may hear an occasional ocean breeze in the audio. Also, while recording this interview, I introduced the show as the original name, which was Starting Stages with Eddie Mack. In the post-production phase, I decided the name should change to Setting Stages, as it keeps the show open to explore beyond the origins of my current and future guests. Enjoy the show. Today, my guest is a dance community leader, performing arts enthusiast, event production mastermind, mentor to many, and a friend to many more. Her name is dominant in the San Diego dance scene, and her presence is felt worldwide, which shouldn't be surprising considering her resume includes former artistic director and now director of programs for Culture Shock San Diego, current CEO of Body Rock Dance Competition and Body Rock Junior for over a decade and a half, and she's currently in the planning stages of a dance dating show. It seems that this woman simply can't stop her mind from creating, producing, attempting, and recreating, which is why it's an absolute honor and pleasure for me to welcome the boba-loving creative with left-brain skill sets, Miss Anna Sorrell.
Yay! Thanks, Eddie.
Hey, appreciate you joining me. Thank you so much. Well, let's jump right into it. I want to kind of immediately learn. Let's talk about how you first experienced performing on a stage.
Sure. Man, so that was crazy. I grew up in National City, you know, and like early 80s, my parents were always working. So I was raised on freaking TV. Watched like all these What's Happening and Soul Train. So predominantly in that neighborhood, we were into hip hop. But I mean, we were just doing it for fun. It was always like, oh yeah, you know, in the garage and neighborhood thing. And I was still very shy, so there was no like aspirations to perform on a stage. You know, it was just kind of like, you know, let's copy videos. Yeah, this is fun. Teach me that dance. You teach me? Okay, I'll teach you, you know?
Yeah.
Totally social. And coming from, I want to say that's important too to say, because we immigrated here from Philippines. And so I was always feeling like different. But the one thing that I could connect to other people with was dance, you know, no matter what. So anyways, I go to Mesa College and I ended up in this white lady's hip hop dance class. And it wasn't even called hip hop. It was called American Street Dance. And Angie Bunch had a choreography performance class. So my first performance, it was crazy. Like I performed at this like maybe 100 seat, like little community college theater at Mesa College. And I freaking like exploded. Like I loved it. I remember in my mind just wishing that P. Diddy was in the audience. You know, like, you know, I'm good about to blow up, you know, yes. Kind of like.
And he was Puff Daddy then.
Well, yes. Yeah. Real, he was, right? Puff Daddy back then. But you know, I loved the, it was a high performing on stage, and especially with friends, you know, like that's always been like a really key thing for me when I'm dancing. Always surrounded by groups of different people, different backgrounds, different cultures, but we were all connected through dance. And it was a high I wanted to relive over and over again.
Nice. Right on. And you know, it sounds to me that really there was something burning inside of you that needed an outlet.
Oh, yes.
And
oh, yes.
And that was it. That was the breakthrough moment, is that?
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, being in the dance community was more of a subculture back then. It's far more mainstream now, mm-hmm. than what it is back then. And it wasn't popularized the way that it is now in our culture with television.
Sure. Oh,
and,
yeah. Uh-huh.
And, you know, and everyone talks about social media. So what is it that inspired you to produce a dance competition specifically back then?
Yeah. And I tell this story over and over, but it was a culmination of a lot of things. So at the time, I was artistic director of Culture Shock, and I had the privilege of knowing different dancers from other dance teams, because they joined us, and we were the only exhibition team. We were losing our studio, and we needed, it like the typical movie, you know, we needed to raise some money, and the suggestion came up to me, like one of my friends from Cabo Modern was like, yo, we should do it, we should throw a dance competition. But I didn't have any knowledge, I didn't have no experience in that, and it didn't really interest me at all. And I was just kind of like, who cares, you know? Because I've been competing at dance competitions. I used to do Import Show Off. I used to do those club ones. I even did Fusion back in the day. Nice. Okay, so I was like, I kind of don't care, you know, whatever. But the idea kept returning. It kept coming back to me. And I think what really pushed me over the edge was my friend had passed away. So my best friend, who I met at Mesa College, who joined Culture Shock with me, who I taught with, you know, like we team taught all the time. My first teaching experiences, I had him, you know, teach with me. He contracted cancer, you know. We made Culture Shock together, and in little than a year, he contracted some kind of lung cancer, and he passed away, like, really fast. And that changed my whole outlook on life. You know, in my mid-20s, that really shaped my identity. I started to think about my life, and I thought, man, you don't have a lot of time here. So I really thought, I'm going to do all the things that Chris never got to do. And that pushed me, just a typical quiet Asian girl, to go, okay, I'm going to throw a dance competition. Let's do it.
Wow. I didn't realize that it was such a heavy place that this all really started from.
Yeah. It always is. I feel like people that do really huge things, it has to be for a bigger purpose. It has to be for something bigger than them. If it's just some shit like, oh, I'm just trying to earn some money, oh, I'm just trying to be popular, I don't think that's a good enough reason.
I get it. I think that really what it boils down to is that we all, as human beings, beyond just dance, but we're looking for some kind of connection, but it's a connection that's bigger than us.
Mm-hmm.
And whether that means acceptance, in some people that's the case, perhaps it's also just giving back and finding an outlet for others to really make that connection for them.
Yeah, yeah. It made sense to me that way.
Right on. You know, I wanted to ask you really what you hoped to accomplish, and I think that you touched on that here, and it is a matter of that community. And you created that, and I have to say, and we'll touch on that a little bit later. I have some thoughts to share with you, and we'll talk a little bit later. So let me switch gears a little bit. So here we are, here you are. It's I don't know, maybe 1998, 1999, maybe even 2000, and that's the year. And recall a time when you experienced a setback or a situation that really challenged your plans or your process. What steps did you take to overcome them?
Which time? There's many a time, you know?
Right.
Man. Like, if I go back to the very first one, I think I'll say it's betrayal, you know? Deep betrayal. I had been producing Body Rock before. It was called Bust a Groove, you know? And I had 5 friends that helped me produce it. So I was always the creative. Lesson number one, kids, if you're planning to do this as a career, you need to be mindful about business too. You need to check on your finances. You need to understand laws, regulations, and how to set up a bank account, how to set up a DBA. You need to learn how to do that.
That is real. And, yes. And pardon my interruption, but I just wanted to let the audience members know, Anna just leaned into the mic and started putting her finger to it. That's how serious it just got. So take heed, audience members. By all means, listen close.
Yeah, so I learned the hard way. I was telling my friend, yeah, don't worry, you know, I'll recruit all the dancers. I'll figure out the cool stuff. You're a manager, so you take care of the bank account. So here I am every year. She's going, oh, we never made any money, Anna. And I'm like, I can't even pay rent. You know, I can't pay rent. I'm starving. And she would be like, oh, you know, I got you. So I'm like, oh, like, man, thanks, girl. You know, I don't have any gas money right now. Can you spot me? And she would always be like, yeah, don't worry, I got you. Then I find out one day, like, how these things kind of, like, just, you know, intertwine. I got asked to be the Culture Shock LA director. and I needed gas money to get up there. So finally, I was just, you know what? I'm just going to check the bank account because she won't mind if I just take 20 bucks. Because all this time she was telling me we only have enough for the deposit for the show next year. There's nothing else. Hmm. Our bank account was negative. Word. Okay?
Wow.
Negative. And I was like, mm-mm. How can that be? And this person had been stealing for many years, you know, but this person, I mean, that wasn't even it. The thing was, she was close to me, like a sister. So I couldn't believe it. I wanted her to keep lying to me. I couldn't accept that someone that close would do that to me. It tainted what I thought about relationships, about dance homies, about everything, community, fuck that, you know? Yes, and I really went through a hard time because I fell into depression. By the way, it was all legal because she was a signer on the account.
Oh, man.
So that's what's fucked up. Mm-hmm. As soon as I confronted her, she just moved to a different state, and that was it. And literally, I just couldn't get out of bed. I was depressed for like a good year or so. I couldn't pray. Nothing that I used to do for support, I couldn't do it. And I ended up enrolling in group therapy, of all things, you know? And that's why I went into psychology. Right now, I'm finishing my master's in family therapy.
Nice. Look at that. Yeah. Learning from something and then contributing back.
But
it's just ingrained in your soul, isn't it?
It is. That's awesome. It is. And you know, and that's what happened. I ended up taking these psych classes, and this group therapy allowed me to heal from what happened. So honestly, like, if you experience a setback, learn from it as much as you can. Like, it don't take it and be like, this is gonna be it for the rest of your life. Just know that there is a force inside you. There's a God that watches over us, that, you know, he may allow this, but it's not gonna stay like that forever. And just learn from it. That's my encouragement to someone that's going through some shit like that.
That's fantastic advice. And, you know, we can say that all day, but you lived through some real heavy stuff. I mean, financially, you're looking at that, and on an emotional end of things, you know, circumstance didn't define you. Resilience did, though.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. So, aside from the business side of things in that situation that you just shared, personally, you did touch on this a little bit about, you know, you felt resentment from the community, someone close to you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So what did you learn from that personally?
Yeah. What I learned, it was hard because the depression came because I couldn't be mad at her. I couldn't, you know, so psychologically, I turned all that anger inward. And I was telling myself that I deserved it. I deserved it for letting someone do that to me.
Wow.
It was my fault. And that thought, that lie was what paralyzed me, you know? And it wasn't until I was able to, like, journal. I had to let it out, you know? And I had been this, like, stuck in this negative cycle. I remember in the group therapy, okay, first of all, I'm sorry, I'm going to backtrack, but
please.
I was quitting everything. I was quitting relationships. I was quitting classes. I was quitting jobs. And when it finally came to the point of me quitting dance class, like, I would start a dance class, and for just no reason, I would walk out like 10 minutes later. Just no reason.
Oh, wow.
And that's why I finally said, okay, I need to go to do something. And when I was in this therapy thing, this lady had said to me, Anna, before you quit, do you tell yourself you're going to quit? And that was like a light bulb that went off in my head. I was like, oh my God, yeah, I do. I cycle through a negative thought process over and over. It just goes, you're gonna quit anyway. Who cares? Why are you even trying? You know what? Just leave. You should just leave now. You should just drop it now. Who cares? Everybody knows you're a quitter. Everybody knows. Look what happened to you. Look what you did. Look what you decided. Who cares? You know, you don't have real friends. Over and over and over. Yes, and how powerful your thoughts are. If that is how you think, and you're telling yourself how bad you are, how you deserve whatever you deserve and you got, your life is going to reflect that, you know? And it was a trip for me because she said to me, maybe instead of you saying, I have to stay or I have to get better, just say, oh, I wonder what it feels like to stick in a class for 10 minutes, you know? Or I wonder what it feels like to stick in a class for 30 minutes. And sure enough, I built from 5 minutes to 30 minutes to 45 to an hour. And I stuck in a full class, and that domino affected everything else in my life.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So that's what I learned. Number one, I learned that your thoughts are so important. You have to be your cheerleader. You cannot be your worst enemy. You have to cheer for yourself when nothing else, circumstances, you have to catch it, you know? Catch that if you're thinking that way, and just say, hey, that's not true.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you really had to switch gears about and control, take control of what that thought process was like. It sounded like you convinced yourself that it wasn't going to happen, that you weren't going to finish, that you weren't going to complete that task, that dream, or whatever the goal was, and you convinced yourself that you weren't worthy of it.
Yes.
And that one question, that one question that you were asked, do you think and tell yourself that you're going to quit before you do, that was the moment.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah, because I wasn't aware of it, that I was telling myself all those bad things until she had pointed it out.
I'm curious to know who that teacher was.
Oh, she wasn't a teacher. She was a random lady in my group therapy. Like one day, there's 10 ladies we would meet, and then the lead facilitator said, okay, pair up. So I just paired up with some random, and this lady was having issues herself. So she was probably an expert at this, you know, like been to many group therapies. And when I told her my issue, which is, you know, it finally got to dancing, which is something that I loved and I was passionate about, and I felt out of control. That's when she hit me with that question.
Fateful crossing of paths. Huh?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Thank God for that. That was a really important and turning point in my life. Yeah.
Thank goodness. Honestly, if I could speak for anyone that's listening right now, I'm really thankful that that's what happened to you, honestly. And I don't mean that in any way that, you know, I would hope that anyone suffers, but sometimes that's what it takes to create an incredible individual. And that's why you're here today with me. I really appreciate that you're taking this moment to share that story. I wasn't expecting that direction, and that's something else. That's something else.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to switch gears again here. Let's talk a little bit about criticism here. I imagine that you've experienced this throughout your journey.
Yes.
In dance and in producing Body Rock and what was back then Busta Groove. So who did you endure criticism from? And you can go anywhere with this, really.
Yeah.
It could have been parents. It could have been a mate. I mean, who did you endure that from?
Man. Yeah, of course my parents, man. I'm Filipino. You know, like no Asian parent in their right mind would ever support this kind of passion or career. I mean, they were taught that financial needs and stability are the most important values. Like here, I grew up in America with American values, with, oh yeah, chase your dreams and follow your dreams and, you know, do what you love. Those are all American things. And it's such a conflict to tell your Filipino parents that this is how I think and how I feel and it's right, it's okay. Mm-hmm. You know, and those two culture clashes, just clashing, conflicting together. So, you know, they've never seen me dance, like never saw a show, never saw me direct Culture Shock, just went to their first Body Rock last year. Like, that's crazy. That's how long they have decided not to support this.
This past show?
Uh-huh.
Look
oh, yeah,
that.
Yeah. And, but it wasn't even them. I think the biggest criticism I had that really like hurt my feelings and made me question and doubt was from a mentor, you know? Mm. Someone that helped build me up, who told me, man, you could do anything, Anna, the world is yours. And I loved her and looked up to her so much, you know? I don't want to name her because it's just, I mean, it's going to be bad on her.
We'll
if
leave,
I name
we'll
her.
Leave
yeah.
We'll
yeah,
leave
yeah,
be.
Yeah.
That, no,
but one day, I don't know if it was just out of resentment that I was leaving my position, and she told me that Busta Groove, it's just a fucking game, you know. What are you gonna do with this?
And you can laugh now,
yeah,
girl.
You can laugh now. Oh yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Oh yeah. She was like, "This is nothing." She told me that straight up to my face, and. Oh,
I'm
yeah.
still trying to soak that one in, really.
Yes.
Well, you just never know, I suppose.
Oh,
huh?
No, you never know. And And you know what? In my 20s, and mind you, in my 20s, I was more fiery than I'm now. I'm 41 now.
Right.
But in my 20s, it was like, bitch, I'll show you.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
You know, that lit a fire under me. All right. And that is what drove me to study theater and dance, to continue to add to my education and production. And to just, even though I didn't have a background in it, to go into it full out. Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That's awesome. What a cool story. A little turnaround and traded places there. And look who's talking now, huh? Anyway, wow. So, you know, now look at what Busted Groove is. Body Rock having gone through 17 years?
18.
18 shows, something like that? Yeah. And this last one was a really big deal with Body Rock Homecoming. You've obviously created an iconic dance competition. This was, and I'll speak from my perspective here, and I'm sure many share the same sentiment. My first knowledge of this competition was in 2004, actually, and it was Busted Groove then. And I remember my friend, Kit Ayala.
Oh, Kit, yeah.
You know Kit.
My roomie, that's my roomie.
That's right. So Kit and I, we grew up in Oceanside together, and it was the same neighborhood. We shared a lot of, you know, fun times together. And one day, and we had been into dancing and things like that, kind of on a neighborhood level, you know, and kind of saw it from afar, like, oh, it's really cool to b-boy, or it's really cool to do some choreography. And you're looking at pop groups, like, really forming, like, a big thing with dance and choreography, and that was a big deal. So one day he says, hey, let's go to this, there's this dance competition in San Diego, it's called Busted Groove, check out this flyer. Like a flyer, aww, you know, like,
I
who
know.
Even says that now?
It's
old. So he's like, yeah, let's go check it out, you know, and so we go to the venue, and it's completely sold out in that show, and we're trying to find our way in, and we're like, let's sneak in.
So,
disclaimer, I can say that now.
Yeah,
like
we
didn't sneak into the actual audience portion of the venue, but we actually find our way somewhere backstage.
Okay.
And I don't know if you remember this, but there was a projector screen for the performers backstage to watch what was happening on stage.
Yeah.
And we found our way there, and there was security right there, so we kept our distance, but we saw the projector from where we were, and I remember seeing Formality on stage.
Oh, wow.
And when I saw Formality on stage, that elevated my understanding of what choreography was back then, and it hit me, it struck a chord. And and at that moment forward, it was really like I was starstruck. I was starstruck when they came backstage and started watching the next performers that were on stage on that projector. And I saw them in costume, the costume that I just saw on stage through that projector. And really just watching the rest of the show from that moment forward, it turned on a switch.
Mm.
And so when I say that you created an iconic dance competition, it was for me at that very moment in 2004. And by then I had been dancing for probably like 8 years or something as a b-boy, you know, for a few years. And then touching on choreography. So, I mean, the fact that you had created something like that and created something for me to build something upon creatively, you've done other things. You've hosted open mics for the community. You've created community meetings, mastermind discussions. I mean, even with the recent political vote for our new president, you reached out to the community and gave some people an outlet to discuss, you know, change and challenge and such. You've started a new YouTube series with Boba Talk. I mean, what is it that keeps you passionate in this trade of just event production and just creating community? What's going on there?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to think of what's best to answer that. Like, I was telling you, spiritually, I still believe in God. I still believe we have a purpose. Like, everyone has a mission, something that they're meant to do while they're here on earth, kind of thing, you know? And for me, I mean, I love creating, and I love gathering, like, a bunch of people together. And I love dance, you know? So why not, you know? I think even growing up, a recent interview I did with somebody else, it sparked this for me to remember. But we grew up, you know, in National City, like in the, remember I was telling you, in the garages, where everyone, all the kids played in the cul-de-sac, and we would throw talent shows together there. Like, we would dance, and your crew and my crew in our garages, you know. or we would act out, you know, different movies together, like, you know, like it was just, it was just something that I remember was fun, and I just loved being with a group of people too, you know.
All right.
And especially, like I said, always I felt like dance was a major way to connect with people, even though I look different. You know, even though I'm Asian or whatever the case, I was smart, I'm too smart, whatever, you know. When it came to, oh, yeah, show me that move, you know, it was always like, oh, cool, yeah, you're my friend now, okay. And I always want to have that outlet. I want to have that feeling, you know. And sometimes I keep thinking, man, God, what's next? You know, and so I will. I'll pray about it. I'll pray about, like, whatever event I'm producing. And I feel like those visions come up with my head, and I don't know. I just have the capacity to go, okay, fine, I'll just do it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and I really, I just do. I want to attribute that to God, you know? Like really speaking to me and speaking into my life, and then I feel like I'm so blessed when those events happen, and that spirit of joy and getting to know other people, bringing people together, like, I'm blessed by that.
Got it. You know, and I was going to ask you what value you take from it, and it sounds like you really feel fulfilled when that opportunity to bring people together and find a common ground.
That's you know, and probably coming from when I look back at my family, like my real family, my mom and dad, it was just me, my mom and dad, and my sister, and we were not the typical Filipino family. I didn't have cousins. Mm. I didn't have aunts and uncles. Like, we just, it was just the four of us for as long as I remember. And so I was always wanting, like, more. Like, you know, I wanted more people to play with, you know, more people to talk to. I would be at my neighbor's house all the time, my auntie's house. And, you know, when I would have conflicts because my parents didn't support me, well, shit, I grew up with my best friend's family, you know? So I really value that feeling of being together.
Right on. So you created a family for yourself.
Exactly. All these dancers now are like my family. Like, yeah.
You went from like 50 lumpia to like 200.
Exactly. Yeah, man. And fried chicken. What's up? You know, and Vietnamese food, you know, like any kind of dancer from any different background, like their families is my family.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Oh, that's cool. So, with all the projects that you've put together, whether they were long-term, like we've discussed, and those short moments, you've got another one in the works right now, don't you?
Yes.
And so, actually, okay, so you've got two, really, like one live right now.
Yeah.
Which is, and I hope we could talk about this.
Yeah, of course.
Okay. So, right now you're working on Boba Talks, mm-hmm. and as of this recording, you're three episodes in. Mm-hmm. I've watched all three of them. I've taken value from all of them. Tell me. What sparked that? And share with us, you know, what inspired this movement?
Yeah, okay, how crazy is this? I still get young people, because of course, you know, in the dance center, it's all like 20-year-olds and under that are still on teams. And sometimes they'll come to me and either in my office or just walking by, and we'll get into talks like this. And they'll ask about advice, or they'll ask, who should I talk to about this? Or, you know, whatever. And sometimes they don't talk to me and they just go straight to Facebook. And so I recognized that. And I was like, man, this generation is so different. What is wrong with them? You know, like, it's so hard to find authentic communication, connection. And I thought, you know, I do want to talk to people. I do want to do that, but I feel like it's not going to make a difference. I should just go where they're at. So I thought to take to YouTube, you know. And I really didn't, like, I'm not the best equipped person for that. It was just kind of, you just go do it, you know? And the first person I interviewed, oh, thank you, Mappy. Thank God for you. I was like, okay, I'm just going to use my cell phone. And he was like, no, Anna Sorrell, you are not going to do that. And he hooked it up. Like, he had like a legit production, two cameras, you know, stands, mic, whatever, you know? And when I saw it, I was like, holy shit. I should keep doing this.
Oh my God. You got HD on that?
Yeah, I really had fun. I mean, I also edited.
Oh, man.
So I edited and I was like, I like this. It's another outlet for me, you know? And
cool.
And then as soon as I was doing it, I started learning from the conversations themselves. And then I was like, man, this is something I'd been craving for such a long time that I felt like I was missing at Body Rock. You know, now that the dance scene is so saturated, so many different people will come to the show. I don't even know them. They don't even know me anymore, kind of a thing. And I feel like I feel unconnected. Hmm. And for some reason, these one-on-one conversations, they bring me that human connection, you know, that I've been missing, you know. And especially now with the technology and everything. And I'm just hoping that when those young people see that, they will want to go do that. Yeah.
Right on. So you are hoping that really, and by the way, Mappy, thanks for setting it off because you just created another monster within Anna that just cannot be contained at this point. This is awesome. But it sounds to me that you want to leave that legacy behind of, you know, I found my purpose in and connection and connecting for other people and with other people. And you just want people to follow suit in that, to continue the community, to continue the growth.
And hopefully they'll learn some kind of lessons through my guests' stories and their journeys and whatever they want to share while I'm in the moment talking with them. You know, sure. It may be different from what I learned. They may pick up something else, you know. And keep it real. I'm praying over all these videos. I'm praying over my conversations with my guests. And I'm praying over my own, like, message and what I will receive, you know, for my life, whatever God or Holy Spirit would tell me. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Awesome perspective, Anna. So let's talk a little bit about your other project that you've talked a little bit about it on social from what I've picked up, and you're formulating some ideas. Who knows the depth of how much is brewing right now, but you've got a show.
Yes.
That's coming up.
Yes, I'm excited.
As am I. I'm hanging on the edge of my seat, just kind of waiting to see what comes about. But so tell us about 5, 6, 7 date.
Okay. So I am tired. I love Mari and Keone, but I'm tired of seeing Mari and Keone posts. You know, they're the only ones in love, you know, scrolling through my feed. You know, everyone's getting married. Everyone's having a baby. And I thought I was the only one. But apparently, there are still some single dancers out there, you know,
word.
You know, we're getting older and we don't want to use Tinder. We want the Mari Keone way. You know, we want to be like, I met this person and he was, you know, just my friend and now we're in love, you know.
Yeah, that moment, like,
yes.
When she walked into
yes,
the room.
Yes, you know. We just, the old-fashioned way, you just meet somebody.
I feel you.
And so I just put out a Facebook message. Like, honestly, you guys, if you have an idea, don't matter if you're qualified or not. Just do it.
Just run with it. Just run with it.
Just go do it. So I put out a Facebook message. I had like 100-something responses. And people were like, oh, sign me up. Sign me up. I want to do it. Oh, what's this about? You know, and I'd tell them my idea. And, okay, so I used to watch this old series, like, in the 70s called The Dating Game.
The Dating Game. I know The Dating
yes,
Game.
Yes, that's exactly how it's going to work, except there's a twist.
All right.
So the bachelor or bachelorette will have 6 questions, but the 3 competitors will have, they'll have verbal responses, but for most of the questions, they'll have to dance their replies.
Whoa.
Yes! So they can pick their own music. You know, I'll give them the questions ahead of time. And it's just a short 15, 20 second, like you could freestyle, you could do choreo, whatever. But there's a wall still, and they can't see what the dancers are or who the competitors are.
Okay.
But the audience is playing along, and they will be there to support the very best one that fits the date. And whoever wins the date, of course, gets free dinner and boba on me.
Oh, yes. That's awesome.
Yes. And for me, you know, like I said, I think it's just another way of, oh, man, you know, a different kind of connecting people. And it's just fun, honestly.
Right.
I love doing these things. It's fun for me.
That sounds great. I'm looking forward to it. So now that you've got the premise of the show, I'm curious to know, like, when does it go live?
It goes, okay, October 14th is the first, I'm planning to do more of these.
All right,
You know, one for even, like, LGBT round, you know?
All right.
But the first one is at Culture Shock at October 14th, but I just want to show you the first picture. So all I had all the bachelors send me headshots. All right.
So Anna's scrolling through her phone right now looking for the photo of the
show. And I had them choose three words to describe themselves. This bachelor chose confident, funny, and all yours.
Oh, hello. Dang, spitting game in a photo already, huh?
I know him personally. He's pretty dope.
Right on.
I'm not gonna spoil it. You have to show up to find out who it is, but I will be releasing these bachelor photos and bachelorette photos once a week starting the end of this month to promote the show.
Hey, that's great. So audience members, listen up. Keep an eye out. Go follow Anna on all social media platforms for
it's
this.
Be so fun.
Be part of that audience. October 14th is when it drops.
Uh-huh.
Cool. Yeah. Well, you know what? We've got a lot from you today, you know, and there was, we went all kinds of directions. And again, let me be the first to just say thank you for taking this time to really discuss all kinds of things with me. We got real emotional. We got really fun.
Yeah, I saw tears in your eyes,
girl,
Eddie.
Girl, I couldn't believe what I was hearing. I just didn't know it was gonna get there. Why do you have to say that, man? Yeah, I was crying, guys. I had a little tear in my eye. I just couldn't believe what I was hearing. I've known Anna for many years, and I just didn't know that we were gonna get that intimate on this show. And I'm grateful and very thankful for the fact that you were willing to share those moments with me. I think that is super important for, especially the audience that I'm trying to reach, where they might be going through a struggle, they might be going through a hard time, or just trying to figure out how to bridge that gap between what I am now and what I can be later. And sometimes it takes you getting hit pretty hard for that change to happen. And it sounds to me too, some self-reflection and self-awareness of what am I telling myself? What am I convincing myself? And how can I change that mentality? So that's powerful. I guess this is a good moment for me to share with you now. I did touch on it a little bit earlier in our discussion. You know, in 04, when I snuck backstage with Kit and watched that first show, I mentioned that it changed for me. It struck a chord with me. And I'm going to tell you right now, and I had been thinking about this before we met up, probably a week or two before.
Okay.
It was life-changing, Anna. It was life-changing. And what I got from that show was a moment of clarity where I realized that I love to express my emotion. I love to show people who I am. Mm-hmm. And I wear my emotions on my sleeve, hence why I was crying a little bit, you know? And there's something about that connection to people that you and I share, and that's what I found at Busta Groove that day.
Yes.
And yes, I was dancing, and it was a hobby, and it was fun. I did it with my neighborhood friends. I did it in my garage. Mm-hmm. And lo and behold, it was just always so fun for me to be able to express myself. Now that I'm retired for many years from dancing, I've found that writing has been an outlet for me.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I'm really, really trying to hone in on understanding that, gosh, I really love to speak. And that's another form of expression and performance art to some degree. And it really started, honestly, in 04.
Oh, wow.
And it was because I managed to sneak backstage at Busta Groove. And iconic dance competition is one thing, but life-changing for me, mm-hmm. Can you imagine how many other people share that sentiment? That's what you've done.
That's crazy.
And I don't know how many people, and I'm sure it's countless, that walk up to you and say, thanks for this show, thanks for this opportunity, I'm grateful for this. From the bottom, deepest corner of my heart, it is a moment that really defined how much of a voice I really needed to find within myself, and that was a day that really contributed to what I'm doing now.
Wow, that's amazing. Thank you for sharing that with me. You know, I really appreciate that. Because having been told that the show was nothing and was never going to amount to anything, you know, and even just having doubts myself, you know, through keeping it alive all these years, like, is it really that important to anyone but me, you know? That really means a lot. Really means a lot for me to hear that. Thank you.
It's an absolute pleasure and an honor, really. So, we've got two questions left, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so my last question will be, what advice would you give to Anna Sarau in 1998?
Yeah, Anna Sarau in 1998. Let me think.
And that was figurative, obviously.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Let's just think back. Who you are now, how would you talk to her then?
I would tell her, girl, I love you. You keep doing you. Keep nice. Doing you. There'll be so many people that will come alongside, and just know that it's worth it, and you're gonna love what you do. You're gonna be okay.
Right on. And you're more than okay, girl.
Oh yeah. Yes.
You're more than okay. That's awesome. Yeah. All right, so the pressure's on, and I don't think I prepared you for this, but I told you before this interview began that I wanted the most authentic Anna.
Oh, shit. Right. I'm scared now.
So now, and we'll see how you take this, but now you get to ask our audience the question of the day. So
I have a question of
the day. You have a question of the day, and you've got control. What's Anna's question of the day?
Yeah. Why are you guys listening to podcasts and watching, like, these YouTube videos of interviews? What are you hoping to get out of it?
Nice. So we've got an audience here that's going to be responding to that. Hit up Anna. She'll be on social media. Can you share your tag?
Yes. At Anna Sarao on my Instagram, AnnaSarao. Also on Facebook, Anna Sarao. It's just my name. And my YouTube channel, it's also Anna Sorrell.
Awesome. So audience, answer that question.
What are you hoping to get by listening to these podcasts and watching these videos on YouTube of all these interviews?
Right on, Anna. Thank you so much. I appreciate you taking the time to be my guest once more.
Yay. Thank you for having me.
This is outstanding. Thank you guys for listening to the very first episode of Starting Stages with Eddie Mack. And today, Anna Sorrell. Thank you so much.
Bye, guys.